Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 7, 24 to 29, as we close out the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I had two stand-ins for this morning. One was Kate, and even Jan offered to read my message. I'm keeping my distance from you this morning, so if I run away after the service, don't be offended. It's not because of you, I'm just keeping my distance. Matthew chapter 7, the wise and foolish builder. It's been a long journey through the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know about you, but I have found this series not only the hardest one to preach, because I didn't even preach on murder, adultery, or divorce. I also found it hard in my own life because there seemed to be no wriggle room. No wriggle room at all, for Jesus offers just one way. Just one way for us to follow him, and that's it. I believe that Tim did an incredible job finding the right balance of handling these very hard and difficult words of Jesus with wisdom and grace. So a big thank you to Tim, who's in the UK at the moment. I heard from Melissa. Tim is having a lovely time with his parents, so that's great. So Tim started this series on the Sermon on the Mount back on the 10th of February. And he began the series with a few words like this, which I'll sort of paraphrase. Oh, wrong, sorry. My PowerPoint. Thank you. And I'll paraphrase them. Jesus takes his disciples away for a one-on-one session on the side of the mountain, and I think he mentioned the Ruahinis at this time, teaching them what will mark them as his followers, who they are going to be. This will set them apart in this world that they live in. Jesus' words are not only for his disciples then, but they filter down through time and space to fall afresh on our ears today. So we've covered these topics: salt and light, fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, an eye for an eye, giving to the needy, prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven, do not worry, judging others, ask, seek, knock, the narrow and wide gates, the false prophets. And then Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And today, the wise and foolish builders. Before I begin, I think it's best to back up a little bit and share a few thoughts from Lisa's message. I hope that's all right, Lisa. I've got it word perfect. I listened really hard to it. Her message on the narrow and wide gates, for she highlights why people in our world find it so hard to follow Jesus. For within the body of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers to all who will listen to him a choice. It's either the world's way or it's his way. For he brings life and the world brings death. So here's a few words from Lisa. Would you like to come up and say them? Let's read along with them. She says this, I don't know about you, this choosing business makes me really uncomfortable. I don't like either or. We're not really either or kind of society. We're pluralistic, both and kind of a society. We live in a culture where everyone chooses their own unique path, where we don't say one way is better than another, where we say there are many ways to live a good life, and it's up to individuals to find their own unique and special path. But what makes me most uncomfortable, and I would have to agree, about this passage and other passages in the Sermon on the Mount, it says that we can't have it both ways. There is no both and option there, here. We are standing at the crossroads. Jesus is totally clear about this, not just here, but all through the gospel. Either you are all in or you're all out. You reap. You reap or you scatter. You are hot or you're cold. You turn left or you turn right. And the question that we are confronted by is this: which will you choose? Last Sunday, Tim focused on chapter 7, where Jesus says, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter heaven." Tim stated that this was the climax of Jesus' series of teachings, his talks to his disciples, and also for the other people that gathered around on that mountainside. And I believe that was right. It was a very hard message. It's a message that we all have to respond to, for it goes to the very core of who we think we are and how we are actually going to live out our lives. Yet Jesus didn't stop there. He used one more illustration, a very important illustration about the wise builder and the foolish builder, to drive home all that he had been saying up until that point. And the question needs to be asked this morning: was this last illustration of the house builders, was it aimed at those who called themselves followers of Jesus Christ, or to those who were tag-ons, those who were not believers but were interested? So I think John Stott answers this question, for he sees that these two builders, as professing Christians, both the genuine and the spurious, the false, they often look alike. Then he put it again into today's context, and he said this: both appear to be building Christian lives. Both are members of the visible Christian community. Both read the Bible, go to church, listen to sermons, and buy Christian literature. The reason you often cannot tell the difference between them is that the deep foundation of their lives are hidden from view. Interesting, isn't it? He goes on to say this: the real question is not whether they hear Christ's teaching, nor whether they respect or believe it, but whether they do what they hear. Only the storms of life will reveal the truth. It all boils down to obedience. The true disciple of Christ will always obey him. And through this faith, the believer will live out their lives of good works, works that show the world that they belong to God's upside-down kingdom, where the first shall be last, it's better to give and serve than to receive, where we turn the other cheek when we learn to love our enemies by forgiving them, where there's more of this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control evident within believers' lives. These are the truths of God's kingdom of love and grace in the believers' lives. These fruits will help radically change the way that we live out our lives. It will have an effect not only in our families, but our neighborhoods and in this world, for good and not for evil. Well, therefore, we will be perfect, won't we? No. Funny old thing, that. We won't be perfect. But people should be able to notice a change within our lives. If you ever wanted to know, you know, if I've changed at all, I could tell you, but really, you should ask Jan. Depends on which day you get her. So, we won't be perfect, but something will change in our lives. And this is the impact that God has within us when we call him Lord and God. You see, you know, there are differences. I'm going to read this little story, which I think will, you know, highlight the difference between a genuine Christian and a false Christian. And you've heard this story before, but I think it describes it quite well. Ned has attended the same church for more than four decades. He was, by all accounts, a crabby kid who grew into a crabby young man. After his religious conversion, he joined the church and became a crabby Christian. He gives no evidence of the uncertainty of his faith. He believes the Bible from cover to cover, and he believes the cover is genuine leather. But there doesn't seem to be any record over the last 40 years of Ned ever changing his disposition, his mind, his expression, and his pew. Shuffle, 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 shuffle. He complained to me one day of the lack of commitment of the young people in the church, and he launched into his own litany of his own daily devotional habits. But Ned, I thought, you're still crabby. You've crabbed your way through 14,200 quiet times without changing. What's the point of doing all this religious activity if you're still being the crab grass in the ecclesiastical lawn? Harold, on the other hand, had the kind of experience where people wrote books about marital problems, a history of substance abuse, and employment finally drove him to the church. The first week he sat in the back row. He'd grown up in another religious institution, long since discarded. And the cross at the front of the church, well, it bothered him. But he returned the next Sunday, bringing a Bible. Then he started rising at 4 a.m. to read it. In a few months, he made a Christian commitment. He was baptized, joined a small group, and got involved in ministry. Harold's life changed so abruptly, I wondered whether it would actually stick. But now, several years later, according to his wife, his children, his friends, and Harold himself, he is a changed man. God said to Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Bible tells us, the day that you meet this Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior, we have become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Which means that our life has changed. God has changed us and has equipped us to walk in this new life by and through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, all we think, say, and do must come from that source of new life. That source, as I said, is our Lord and Savior. Our life now becomes not our own. We place it at the foot of the cross, and there we must die, die to self. And we must be born again, born again. And you know you'll have many people who tell you what that description is. But the born again really is saying that I am dead. The ways that I walked in the past are no longer the ways that God wants me to walk in the past. And I know sometimes I sneak back into the past. Some old habits. I know, I think, you slip back into the past and some old habits. But that is the old past. Whatever happened in the past, yes, it might have left a mark on us. But God says that he will heal that mark and he will take us into this new place of new life. Jesus said these words. You're like, oh, a bit slow on that one. He said this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is asking us to submit to his lordship, which means that we are to put on his yoke, and that comes through being obedient to his commands. If this is the path that we are walking on, we will notice a change in our lives as God points things out that needs to be changed. And the interesting thing, as we journey and continue to keep that yoke on, we will know that this word obedience and submission, which the world tend to disregard and not like, they won't bring such a negative thought to our lives. We will not see them as captivity or oppression, these words, but life-giving, obedience. So, in conclusion, all through Jesus' teaching here on the Sermon on the Mount, he has given his hearers a choice, the world's way or my way. Jesus tells that his way brings abundant life and one day eternal life. And the world's way, it only brings death and destruction. So let's face it, Jesus' teachings are hard. They are so hard. For they fight against the worldly desires within us. Those desires will say, I will do it my way. And so often we do it in our own strength and often we fail. Jesus says, do it my way. But it's still hard to follow his teachings. And I believe that there'll be millions and millions and millions of people who will say that his teachings are far too hard. And they're going to walk away. And we knew when Jesus was here on earth, and as he was walking those 3 years of teachings, some of his disciples said to him, Jesus, your teachings are too hard. And they walked away. They walked away. Then Jesus turned to Peter and to the 11 other disciples, and he said this, do you also want to leave? And what was Peter's reply? To whom shall we go to? For you have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Powerful words for a human being. Powerful words for a human being. Guess what happened to Peter? Not long after that, he walked away. But God's grace is always there, evident and powerful. He's ready to restore, only if we will not allow our pride to stand in the way. He will restore us. So this morning, maybe the question for us this morning, and I don't know where you are at the walk of life, whether you know Jesus or not, whether you've been walking with him for a million years or not, or just life is just too hard. And these words of Jesus are just more hardness on top of the hard life. So this morning I think Jesus is asking, will I walk away because it's just getting too tough? But I hope and pray that our hearts will resonate like Peter's hearts when Jesus asked the same question. And I hope that we too can say, Lord, to whom can we go to? For you, only you, have the words of eternal life. For we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. If that is all that you are holding on to today, so be it. That is good to hold on to. And just wait, for the Lord wants to minister to your heart and mind, not only today, but for every hour, every breath he gives us until he calls us home. Because one day, we all hope, don't we, that we will finish this journey and we will hear these wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You can enter your eternal rest." Where there is no more tears, no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, but the constant eternal existence of joy and peace. So persevere. Persevere. Amen.